Welcome to his to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO. It is a good day. I always love having guests in studio, and we have some great stories to share today. Hope you can stick around for the conversations as we meet two friends from the St. Louis area involved with outreach to the blind and visually impaired. One will be a familiar voice that you've heard here before on Worldwide KFUO. We'll introduce our guest in just a moment. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for them in the sponsor section. You'll find the CUW logo there. Joining me in studio today, two very cheerful guests, the Reverend David Andrus.
Hello.
Good morning, Pastor Andrus.
You like having guests because then you don't have to talk as much. I know you.
Oh, Pastor Andrus, you're at St. Paul in College Hill and pastor to the blind, is that right?
Yeah. The St. Paul's called me to be the pastor to the blind. The majority of my work is in blind ministry, and I help out at the church on Sundays as well, a little in the evenings.
I think it was probably maybe a year ago.
Yes.
That you and I visited, and Vicar as well visited there at St. Paul in College Hill, mm-hmm. and learned about how God is doing great work there at St. Paul in College Hill and the community, how the congregation is out in the community and helping, what's the best word, revitalizing the community?
Correct. And revitalizing it spiritually. There's other things going on there as far as revitalizing, as far as houses and other aspects. But we're very much concerned about the spiritual. And it's moving forward slow but steady, but it is moving forward.
And one of your partners in this outreach with us in studio today, Dale Oberkramer. He's with the Eureka Outreach to the Blind and Visually Impaired. Dale, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, wonderful to have you in studio today. Thanks for coming over and spending some time with me this morning with our listeners, sharing your story.
Absolutely.
Now, Dale, you have been involved with the Eureka Outreach to the Blind and Visually Impaired for how long now?
About 5.5 years.
And I think the outreach has been going on for about that amount of time, too, right? Close to 6 years?
Yeah, it's going on. Pastor Dave got it started with one of the guys from church, and we started gathering, and we met for about 6 months, and then Pastor Dave contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested in leading that group and taking a little training with them and coming back and taking over the group. And I was just elated. I was like, wow, this is an opportunity.
How did you get to know Pastor Dave?
Well, I first met Pastor Dave at our very first meeting in Eureka, and he's just a great mm-hmm. teacher, mentor, bit comedian, and he keeps you involved and keeps you your attention. And I mean, we're in kind of a rural area out there, so this was great to bring blind people from that area together. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Dave, you know, he showed me how to keep that sort of thing going in a rural area.
How would you describe, from your perspective, how would you describe that Eureka Pacific Wildwood area?
Well, it's definitely urban, but it's got a country setting to it the mm-hmm. further west you go. And Wildwood is really what it is. It's Wildwood. and
lots of parks.
Lot of parks. Some really nice parks, equestrian parks, mm-hmm. and just family parks, and they're everywhere, and they're well-maintained, and it's just a great living atmosphere, well within in driving distance of St. Louis and what's happening in the city.
Right, one of the big things in the Eureka area, the attraction that most people know, even if they're from outside the St. Louis area, Six Flags, right?
Absolutely.
The big theme park.
Yeah.
Right down the road. Now, Blind Outreach, Eureka Outreach to Blind and Visually Impaired meets at St. Mark's Lutheran Church there in Eureka.
That's correct.
Just not too far off of the interstate, the exit right there before you get to Six Flags.
Right.
So you've been involved for 5.5 years. What got you interested? How did you learn about the outreach there?
Well, I learned about it. I couldn't see well enough to read, mm-hmm. and I had an accident 10-11 years ago, and it left me blind. And I knew that, you know, I was younger. I was 43, I think, and you know, I had to find remake my life, and you know, it needed encouragement. I went to training through the military at Heinz Blind Rehabilitation Hospital in Chicago for several 2 and 3 month stints, let's say, for mobility training, computer training, and just how to fit back in society as a blind person. And it was really, really helpful. When I came back, actually, a couple of years after that, my mother come over to my apartment, and she used to come over and read me stuff out of the current newspaper.
Oh.
And one afternoon, she was reading, and there was a little article about the St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Eureka, and one of the church elders was starting a blind outreach, and for anyone blind or visually impaired in the Eureka Pacific area to please contact them if I'd like to attend. Well, I thought, wow, this is going to be great. You know, there'll be other blind people around here. I can meet them, and it was great. And from the first time I attended till now, it's we've grown. We've just got an outlet for all the blind people in that area to get together once a month, and we have barbecues and celebrations and dances. Sure. And we just do things.
Sounds like there's a lot of fun, some fellowship, and good time. The relationships are built there.
Exactly.
I'd like to go back to the beginning of your story. You mentioned that you had an accident that left you blind. What did you think about the blind or visually impaired before your accident? What were your...
Before you even do that, why don't you, Dale, say how you went blind? People think blindness can be something you're born with, mm-hmm. or you get only when you're very old. But it happens a lot when people are in their 30s and 40s, and Dale is a perfect example of how sometimes things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was basically just, you know, trying to get some work done, and made a mistake, and
oh, come on, tell them the truth. You're using a Sawzall, and you cut into a pipe, and it sprayed and
knocked me unconscious a little bit, and I messed my left side of my arm and back up, and basically just two 3 weeks later, I was blind, and it you know, it changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to. You have to find yourself, and through Jesus is the best way to do that for me.
Indeed, indeed. So what was your understanding, what were your maybe even some misconceptions about blindness and the blind and visually impaired before the accident?
Wow. That's, no pun intended, it's the difference between night and day.
Yeah.
You know, well, I always thought that...
Had you ever been around anyone who was blind prior to that?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that blind people were completely disabled and basically lived with someone and had to be taken care of because they just didn't have those abilities. And I couldn't have been more further wrong than that, because basically the best way to describe our blind society out there, it's if you took... 100 people, just 100 normal people working, or not working, whatever, and bam, they went blind. The only real difference is you have 100 blind people instead of 100 sighted people. Their abilities kind of go into other ways to get the same things done, if that makes any sense.
I think so. We'll dig deeper into that as to how abilities changed as you made this whole transformation in life. So you said after the accident and you lost most of your sight, you went to training to help make this transition.
Right.
What were some of the things that you learned in your training?
Well, how to remain calm, that you're going to have a lot of mistakes in the beginning and even some, you know, throughout your life that you get confused. How to use, then they take you out and train you in South Chicago, basically. And I have a trained, registered nurse who's, you know, very, very good. And she is my mobility trainer. And she will teach me a lot of things in the hospital itself, cane techniques, how to get around, how to identify with certain sounds, such as if you're out walking and there's a highway nearby and it's on your left. Well, when you turn around, it's going to be on your right.
Mm-hmm.
Remain and keep that in the back of your mind where that highway is, and you'll know which way you're going.
So does this, are you creating a, is there a picture in your mind that's being created as you're hearing these sounds? How do,
exactly,
kind how do you maintain this?
Though you can get in trouble with that being blind because you just tend to stereotype situations, and that's not really the way to go. You think you know how the sidewalk's going to go, and all of a sudden there might be a divot in the sidewalk and you hit it and twist an ankle. So you have to rely and get comfortable with your cane techniques and your mobility techniques.
You mentioned, you know, one of the first things you learned is how to remain calm.
Yeah.
Were there, during this transition of learning this whole new lifestyle, were there moments of panic?
Absolutely.
There always is.
Yeah.
There always is.
What are the things that bring about a time of panic?
Well, I got caught, just for an example, I got caught walking my dog out in in rural part of Pacific, and it was, you know, dark, and it started raining, and it started raining hard. So I couldn't hear the highway anymore. I couldn't hear, you know, the horns and sounds of the town, and I got turned around. And your cane techniques in rain, that heavy, kind of lose their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up like, well, if I go straight, there should be concrete or blacktop there. But no, there wasn't. There was grass and mud. And so I said, okay, I'll turn directly around and take a few steps, and that should be the edge of the road. Well, no, it wasn't. It was a fence. And I'm like, whoa. And it's dark, and it's pouring down rain. And I couldn't get myself out of that. So I'm lucky enough, blessed enough, to have some of my sisters and friends that live close around me. And I called one of them and told them where I was at. And they drove down, found me. I was about 20 feet, 25 feet off the opposite end of the road I thought I was on.
Wow.
It really is a matter when one is faced with such confusion, because you think, okay, I'll do this, I'll do that. And when you're hit the second, sometimes the third time, if you're good, you realize nothing is right. What do I do? And most people just lock up and freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And it can even be, especially when people first lose their sight, even in their house. My shoes should be in my closet. They're not here. Well, then they'll be by the door. So you stumble to the door. This is when you first lose your sight. It's not there. But they're going to come and get me in 2 minutes. Where are my shoes? And you can race around the house and you run into things. And the more you panic, the more rapidly you move. And then that's when injuries and accidents happen. So that lesson of learning, keep calm. Think it through. Okay, if not this, then this. It might be, where was I last night? Where did I take my shoes off? And it's just working at thinking things through.
And remaining calm through that is the tough part.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, Pastor Anderson, what's your story? I don't think we've talked about your story before.
I was born as a baby in Wausau, Wisconsin. I grew up as a happy little kid playing in my red wagon. You don't want to go back that Friday.
Well, that's a fun story.
Well, I was a rambunctious little kid. I was the youngest of three. And at eight, all of a sudden, I couldn't see very well. We went to the doctor, and the doctor, I still remember seeing him going in and out, looking at my eye, and then going back out of the room. And he finally came back in after 20 minutes of this back and forth, and he said, I think I know what you have. You'll have to go to the specialist. And sure enough, it was Coates disease. Makes the vessels behind the retina leak fluid, and there's nothing they can do about it. That fluid builds up pressure, detaches it. They repair the retinas until there's nothing left to repair. At age 11, I was left totally blind.
Hmm. Age 11.
Mm-hmm.
How, so growing up as a sighted boy and then making this transition, you said it started around eight?
Yes.
It started losing sight, and then by 11, totally blind.
Right.
How did you make that transformation? You know, going from being sighted to blind as a young boy.
I really if you can have a perfect time to lose sight, it pretty much was it. I had seen enough that I had a good reference of what things looked like. I could remember that. I had built up some regular patterns of activity and fun. I was also very energetic, as I mentioned. But also I learned there's two growth spurts in the brain at age 8 and age 12. I lost my sight in between the two. So I had formed quite a bit of my functioning as a sighted person, but then not completely, so that when I did lose my sight, I adapted very quickly as my brain went through that second growth spurt. I had parents who were very supportive who said, Dave, you can do anything you want. Just make sure you do precautions as well as keep up your chores. And they wouldn't let me get by with, and they didn't say, oh, no, you just sit here. They let me be a rambunctious boy who got banged and bruised. And, well, how are you going to do it next time? That's how they'd say that. Instead of saying, well, you better not do that. How are you going to do it next time? And that by their encouragement, I started to learn. And this is true. And this is what Dale was talking about. You learn your world instead of through sight. You have to relearn the world. And that's why it's, as you said, difference between night and day. You learn it through touch and sound. And when you learn it through touch and sound, it's amazing what can happen and what you can do and what you can pick up on and how you can move around both with mobility, cooking and cleaning and a whole host of things.
Hmm. So you adapted pretty quickly because of where you were in life.
My age,
your
yes.
Age. Able to adapt pretty quickly. You said your parents by no means sheltered you, but instead wanted you to live life to the fullest,
right,
and to learn, to learn as any boy would through experience.
And that's really what it is all about, is learning through experience, no matter what age. What does a one-year-old do? They get up, they totter, and the boom, they fall down. When you lose your sight, no matter at what age, whether it be at 11 or Dale at 43 or someone out there at 63, you need to learn through experience. And so protection is not always good. Mm-hmm. And then fear can lock people down. If people can be helped beyond the fear to say, I'll learn a little bit today, then they start to build some confidence. I did this today, and I learned this. Whew, what can I do tomorrow? And it's little baby steps. We use that phrase. Literally, that's what it is.
What were some of the things that, as you continued to grow and mature, were there areas of life that that you felt were either empty or neglected, or that you were missing out on something in any way?
There were times when my friends would be playing baseball or football, especially once I hit high school, they were doing organized sports. I felt a little left out then. On the kids in the block, we played football, and they would hand me the football. I put my head down and I'd run. So I had good friends who did that. And if I was in the line, I just kind of angled this way or that and tried to knock people over and much as I could to be involved. When the whole dating scene came, I realized, as I tried, I've told this story many times. I asked Audrey out for a date she was kind, and she said, call me back in 10 minutes. I'll talk to my mom and see what we can do. And I called back. Her mom said, oh, Audrey left 5 minutes ago. I'm sorry. And I realized she didn't want to talk with me. She didn't want a date. She didn't want a blind guy. That was really, in eighth grade, my first realization, this is for real, and I'm going to face this all my life. And how am I going to do that? That was a very depressing month. But as you tell your daughters, it's easy to say guys aren't worth dying for or gals aren't worth dying for. It took me a while to realize Audrey's not worth dying for. There's other gals out there. There's other things you can do. Life is still full. And so then I just picked up and moved on and okay, if she didn't want me, I don't want her. And God's been good and blessed relationships. But it takes that, as anyone has hurt, to get up and move on.
So you learn to get up and move on. Mm-hmm. And let's forward some time. What led you to seminary?
I really wasn't sure what I was going to do with my life. My folks said, well, why don't you go to college? And my sister had gone to Concordia in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I figured, well, it's a small college. I'd been there. I kind of knew the campus. So I went there and it was winter quarter. Still not sure what I want to do. The professor walked up and said, Dave, why don't you be a pastor? It's like, huh? And quite honestly, my thought at that time, pastors, those are the fat, sedentary guys who sit around and talk all day. And I know I'm insulting people, and now I'm starting to get a little bulge in my own tummy, and this is what I was always afraid of. But he walked off and started teaching class. The next day he said, where's my Braille card so I can teach you Braille to teach you Greek? He was willing to teach me Greek. Learn Braille so he could teach me Greek. And when someone does something like that, believes in you enough to go to that next step, that's why I'm a pastor. It's because of him. Larry Myers, we've talked since then, and he's now just about to retire. He's in Milwaukee as a pastor.
So you taught your professor Braille, and he taught you Greek.
Correct. And not only did he teach me to read it, but I had to speak it because it was one-on-one every single day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7:30 a.m. And that really was one of the foundational things, as I look over here at Dale, that I knew we needed to do with outreach centers. When we connect with people who are hurting and struggling, we got to believe in them. Mm-hmm. And go that extra step to say, you can do it, and then stand behind people so that they realize there are people there who care. That's what my professor showed. That was encouragement to me. If we can do that for others, then they'll go, wow, thank you. Why are you doing this? And that's when we can say, because we have a God who loves us.
So you studied Greek, went to seminary, and reading, I mean, there's a lot of reading that occurs in seminary.
Yeah, if you do it all. I guess they can't revoke my degree anymore, can they? Hope not. I didn't do all the readings, but what I did was paid attention to students ahead of me and asked what was essential with the readings. I did the essential readings. I took copious notes while in class. I recorded the class, came back to Braille notes. And this is something I found with anybody, Dale next to me, as well as other people who are blind. Because we don't have the ability to just pick up a book and read here and read there, when we learn something, it's locked in.
That's true.
And we don't forget. And so what I learned, I locked in. And that's what I've learned with Dale here, as well as other people. Teach them, train them, they get it, and they'll always remember. That's one of the gifts that can be utilized when you're blind.
Dale, what's been your experience with Braille?
I tried Braille. I learned the first step, which is that implying alphabet, and I believe the first 10 numbers, and I was taught that in Hines in Chicago, and there is one other girl, I think in our outreach, that does a little Braille. I'm relying more on the speech communications, and what Pastor Dave said is so correct. Is people, you know, it's hard to find someone anymore that remembers a phone number. They're like, well, it's on my list. Well, I don't use a list. And
it's
I gave all those phone
yeah.
numbers in my head. And it's like, how do you remember all that? I don't know. I just do, you know? So
it's just like any other muscle. When you work it at first, oh man, but then you get stronger and stronger. That's how the mind is.
You tend to focus on what you're given rather than what you're not given is what I hear you both saying.
Yes.
Yeah. That's,
focus
that's really,
on the gifts that you have and really emphasize those gifts. Well, we'll talk more about Eureka Outreach to the Blind and the other outreaches in the St. Louis area as well that you all are involved in and connected with as well. We're talking with Dale Oberkramer. He is a leader for the Eureka Outreach to the Blind and Visually Impaired here in the St. Louis area, and the Reverend David Andrus, pastor to the blind at St. Paul in College Hill. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
It's common sense. Schools that give out free condoms actually encourage teens to have sex. Now, there's solid evidence we're right. A study from the University of Notre Dame shows schools that distributed condoms to students experienced a 10% higher rate of teen births. The research shows teens, and twice as many males, felt the condom promotion sent a message sex was expected. Those who promote abstinence until marriage weren't surprised at all. By the way, the Pro-Abortion Guttmacher Institute released a study which found increases in abortion rates in 6 countries when contraceptives were promoted in schools. When schools do this, they're inferring there aren't any consequences of sex before marriage. The big question is, will they look at these results and change their ways?
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Martin Luther the Professor with Dr. Ken Sherb. We'll talk to Dr. John Kleinig about receptive spirituality, and we'll continue our series Top 3 Verses, talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about the Lord's Supper.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Are you interested in Lutheran education? Join the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at a unique conference, July 19 through 21, 2016, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speakers include the Reverend Dr. Scott Ashman, Dr. Angus Manouge, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak. Visit ccle.org for more information. That's ccle.org.
Church music does not praise any particular country or nation, but it welcomes the music of all of them. During this 4th of July season in the United States, Sing for Joy features American music. Join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO has been listener-supported since 1924, teaching the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for our sins, and witnessing to the world about God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis and a click away 24 hours a day at kfuo.org. If you have questions about donating, you can email us, gifts@kfuo.org.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are learning about outreach to the blind and visually impaired. There's an outreach at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Eureka, Missouri, here in the St. Louis area, and a couple others in the St. Louis area. We'll talk about those in just a minute. We're talking with Dale Oberkramer. He's the leader at the Eureka Outreach, and the Reverend David Andrus, pastor to the blind at St. Paul Lutheran Church, College Hill, here in the St. Louis area as well. Now, we mentioned that Eureka is one of the outreaches. There are a few more here in the St. Louis area. Is that right, Pastor?
Yes. Concordia in Maplewood and at Salem in Blackjack, way on the north side.
How do individuals get connected with these outreaches? I would think that much like other other stations in life, other circumstances, especially as you mentioned earlier, Dale, that you know, when blindness occurs later in life rather than earlier in life, one might experience what I would think is, as isolation or maybe even depression, feeling cut off from others because of fear or whatever the feelings may be. How do you get connected with others so that they can be a part of this outreach as well?
Well, Andy, there are several ways, and I try to use every one of them that it possibly can. The first way is naturally by advertising, little newspaper clippings, and hopefully someone will read that newspaper clipping and tell the person they know that's blind. There are other ways. I used to be an Army recruiter, so it really translates well for me. And
so you're still recruiting an Army?
Actually, yeah. I guess that's great. Yeah.
Just a different kind.
Different kind. So I decided there's became really quick so many ways that I could get contacts to these blind people through social workers. There is some strict privacy things I have to abide
Absolutely.
By, but that's mm-hmm. fine. I know how to do that. A lot of places, hospitals. There's always caseworkers and social workers at hospitals, and you establish a rapport mm-hmm. with these people. And when something comes across their table, they'll call you, and you know, and ask their permission to come up to the hospital if that individual is admitted to the hospital, and just pay a visit to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plant the seed in their mind. They're not alone. They can still have fun. We can still have activities. Don't lock yourself in. Every case is a little bit different. A lot of times, I know Pastor Dave is the founder of the National Blind Outreach, and he has these leaders all over the country that run the individual outreaches. And I consider that us and me and them guys, it kind of in the front lines. We're the front lines. We have to go in and we have to find a way to get those blind people into our meetings and try to reach, you know, teach them God, Jesus, and, you know, and get them positive. Everything's okay. The point is to get them there, to care, you know, care, show them that you care.
Mm-hmm.
Let them laugh. Let them meet other blind people.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that'll plant the seed and get them thinking, well, you know, it's not that bad out here. You know, I can always go up there to the outreach center and visit, or, you know, I can call one of the guys, because every one of us in the outreach have each other's phone number, and we love talking to each other, and it establishes relationships, friendships with people we didn't even know, you know, that were
sure.
blind or even were in our area. So it's a lot of recruiting, a lot of work. Sometimes you have to get a driver and go out to the individual's home in a rural area and try to get them to talk to you and get out of the house. And I mean, it's just, that's just normal. And the best thing to do is instill confidence in them and let them know there's still a place for them in this world, that it's, they can reach it and it's not that hard. And you know, come on, we'll show you how.
Once you've paid a visit to someone, invite them, and you've invited them to one of the meetings of Blind Outreach, what do they encounter at Blind Outreach? What are some of the things you do when you
get together? Before you do that,
yes.
Let's relate one of the stories. I asked while we were waiting to come on the air, Dale, if Jerry was still attending, and he said, yeah.
Exactly.
And I remember he's been coming about 5 years. It was about 1 year after it opened, I think, he came.
Well, he actually started coming right off the bat.
Right
off the bat gate, and then he kind of slacked up a while.
He got injured. He was repairing a car. The car fell on him. He broke almost every bone in his body. He was bleeding, and they were able to save his life, but the blood pressure dropped because he lost so much blood, he went blind. And he was just sitting in his apartment. Dale went over and said, how you doing? Well, what's going on? Oh, I can't do anything. And Dale said, well, how about take out the trash? I don't know where the dumpster is. This is an apartment building. And I remember, Dale, you saying that you took your cane, you walked, you found the dumpster, and you walked back and forth. You found it and said, Jerry, here's how you do it. And Dale took him and showed him how. Because of that relationship, because of spending time with a person that says, I care about you, you can do it, those relationships build that, wow. Now then comes the gathering times when other people, sometimes people are so depressed and discouraged, they need something even before they get to the meetings. And that's what Dale is talking about, going to their place and helping them.
Yeah, that's, I mean, other than that, I mean, I don't know another way. I just call it face-to-face with them.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And,
mm-hmm.
and show them that, hey, you know, this is for real, and I'm for real, and there's other people just like me for real, and I'm going to take you to meet them.
So you have this real face-to-face time with individuals mm-hmm. who have experienced blindness or, you know, visual mm-hmm. impairment, mm-hmm. and invite them to blind outreach event. What happens at an event once you get there? What are the types of things you do?
Well, they're usually an hour and a half, 2 hours long, mm-hmm. One Saturday of the month, unless we have a special event going on, then we meet a couple times. But right off the bat, I thank everyone for coming. Everybody's like, hi, and talking to their friend they haven't talked to in a while or seen in a while or, you know, been in front of for a while. And we'll have a prayer, and we'll say the blessing. We'll still, volunteers from St. Mark's, God bless them. They prepare us a lunch, a real nice lunch, and they serve the lunch. And during lunch, we're kind of, you know, it's kind of like a big family. We're just mm-hmm. having a meal chatter. And always things funny, what everybody done, what, you know, during that month and what's going on coming up. And then we go on into either some sort of special speaker or a special presentation or, but every meeting I prepare a devotion because I try to, you know, I try to put across something I find in the Bible that relates to things that are going on in their lives now.
Mm-hmm.
I used every blind story in the Bible at least once, and they love that stuff, you know. And even a lot of people may not think it's a blind story out of the Bible, but it's the way we look at things. In other words, you see, they didn't see that. He heard that, or that goat recognized the voice of its herd, not the face. That's what gives them confidence. They can relate to those, mm-hmm. and now they can change that situation that they used to know into one they can relate to again.
So as you share God's word with them,
yeah,
that equips them with that very word of God to go out from there as well.
Yeah, and by putting it in context that they experience every day or mm-hmm. or it makes it think, you know, they get it. They really get it.
What do you ultimately want them to know as you share the word of God with them?
That, you know, to love, forgive, mm-hmm. and they'll always have friends.
So they have a time there to share that word of God with them. And you mentioned earlier, you do some other activities as well. You have a meal, you have a devotion.
Yeah.
What are some of the other activities?
Well, we'll have guest speakers. Mm-hmm. We've got several of them lined up over the next 6 months. We've had horse demonstrations and from the horse ranches that provide, you know, disabled riding. Oh gosh, we've had big barbecues. We've had guest speakers. I tried to put the guest speaker on the spot, and I've got Pastor Dave on it twice. So,
mm-hmm.
and we had some pretty neat guests there. We had a NFL football player there about 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we have bands sometimes, and I mean, we just do things. We do a lot for disabled children. We try to find them. And we have a couple of blind twins that we're so blessed to be able to help, and I'm in touch with them a lot through their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we do events, or we'll have donations among us to help them at holidays, and that puts a sense of self pride in those people.
So often, you know, people who are blind are told, oh, we'll take care of you. And or people who are blind think, I can't do anything. So to be part of a group and say, we can do this for this person or that person, it helps them to understand, I'm not just a recipient. I can give. I can help. That's
exactly.
Huge. That's huge.
Exactly. And it really does. I mean, that's why it's all done. And my job is to keep it happening, kind of guide the meetings, and make sure these things that we try to do get accomplished, because failure is just not, that's just not accepted with me.
I think, Dale, if I remember correctly, early in the program, I asked what were some of the, how did you understand the blind? What were some of your thoughts about blindness and the visually impaired beforehand? And you mentioned that when someone was blind, you thought that they were just completely disabled.
Right.
And that was a misconception.
Wow, terrible.
About the blind. What are some other misconceptions that you think many people have, especially the sighted? What are some misconceptions you think we might have about the blind and visually impaired that we can dispel those myths today?
Well, Pastor Dave just hit on one of them that, you know, blind people, if they're only blind, then that's an overcomable event, okay? I mean, you know, you're not going to get your sight back, but you can figure out a way, and there's ways out there, technology helps you, that you can do almost just as much. Even soon, we're going to be able to be operating a vehicle. So, other than that, there are things that, I don't know how to put it. I forgot. What was...
We were talking about misconceptions. Pastor Dave, do you have any misconceptions or myths that we
usually
can dispel today?
Usually when people look at a person who's blind, they think, oh, they cannot. They look at limitations only. Mm. Well, you can't see, so you can't do this, you can't do that. The outreach centers try to reverse that. Mm. What are your assets? What are your abilities? Let's use them.
Right.
That's a great approach to life in general. We just talked about this on I think it was on His Time the other, I can't remember what program it was, but we were talking about, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. God places Adam and Eve there, and he's all this beautiful creation and says, this is yours to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it, except for this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
What did they focus on?
The one thing.
The one thing they weren't given.
Mm-hmm.
But yet all this other creation was there for them to enjoy, to glorify God. They focused on the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
When we, in our vocations and our station in life, focus on what we are given and use those to serve, to bring honor to God and those around us, wow, rather than focusing on what we're not given.
Exactly.
What a difference life can be. And well, how that can be a life that God has called us to utilize that which He's given us, not that which we do not have.
It's something that I have worked with people, not just in blind ministry, but in the parish life as I've served as a pastor. People often say, oh, I see this and I see people doing that. And it's not just the material possessions, but sometimes the activities. And they want to be this, they want to be that. It's good to have goals and to strive for them. But yet at the same time, we have to understand what are our assets, what are our strengths, what are we able to do, and then to live life accordingly. And when we understand what we are capable of doing and utilizing those items of what we have ability to do in the service of the Lord, it gives life purpose and meaning and value.
I think the story of how outreach started at the Eureka Outreach started at St. Mark's is a good example of that. We were just talking about this before we went on the air. You know, you got connected through St. Mark's because you heard that they were selling a piano.
My daughter at that time was 14 years old, and she wanted a grand piano. And I said, Tori, we can't afford a grand piano. She came back because she had been doing a play there during the summer and said, they got a piano for sale. It's only $1,500. I said, $1,500 for a grand piano? So I called up, and Dale said, well, you almost have it right. This is all by phone now, except for you're missing missing one zero. I said, oh, 15,000? He said, yeah. And who are you, by the way? I said, oh, I'm Pastor Dave Andrus. I work with people who are blind. And since he asked, I started to tell him all that we do. And he just asked more questions. I said, you got any donations you want to give? He said, no, your church could. Well, if you sell that grand piano, then you'll have some money to give donations. And that, it just planted a seed. And I said, maybe you should think about doing something there. That was the seed that was planted. And about 6 months later, obviously the Holy Spirit was working in his heart, in his life. And that's how it started.
And so what I think you're talking about here, the member at St. Mark's, Bob Wartenberg, who you had this conversation with, what he was able then to focus on is what we have been given.
Correct.
You know, what St. Mark's has been given. Yeah, sure, maybe not an abundance of money to be able to donate to, you know, to support the outreach, but they have a facility. They have loving saints who are ready to help out in ways that they're gifted, whether that's making meals, opening doors, making sure the facilities are ready to greet people, whatever it may be. Those are some of the gifts that they do have.
Indeed.
Focus on those gifts. Mm-hmm. So as you know, as our listeners are listening today and thinking about how they might be able to serve, take some time to think about how you're gifted. Sometimes we miss some of the ways that we've been gifted. We might have a great facility that's not being utilized to its fullest. We might have talents in the congregation that aren't being utilized to the fullest, or resources in our very community that aren't being utilized to the fullest.
Correct.
That's what we see here in this outreach, this Eureka outreach, the blind and visually impaired. It's simple. You mentioned, Dale, once a month. This is a Saturday once a month. The folks get together at St. Mark's and have a meal together. Right? That's in the over in the parish hall in the gym, right? Is that right?
Well, we've moved to one of the teachers' conference rooms.
Okay.
Because, it's the noise in the gym and everything. So we've been meeting there for about the last 4 years.
So you get together, you have a meal. It's very simple. It's not a huge demand on any particular one individual. Well, you've got big responsibilities, but it's a shared responsibility.
Well, I can't say enough about the people of the St. Mark's Church. I mean, they provide transportation without question. They're always driving all over to pick some blind people up, and then after the meeting, they'll take them home, and then they do it all with a grin on their face, and they're just such blessed people.
How many typically participate in blind outreach? How many blind come to, or visually impaired come to the outreach there?
Pastor Dave and I were talking about that before the show, actually we started with four. There was three other people, myself, and we're up to, I'd say, an average of 10 to 12, sometimes as high as 18, sometimes as low as 6 or 7. But then I have people who are maybe out of the area, too far to send a driver for, or there's just health problems, they can't make it most of the time. There's probably another dozen or two of them that I have telephone conversations with every week, and they want to know how the meetings are going and what's going on. And actually, some of them have made telephone contact with some of the people in the meetings. And the people, the blind people of the meetings are actually, they'll call me and say, hey, I've been talking to this person or this person, and that's so neat. And I get to teach them so much, and I just have this big grin when they're telling me this, because that shows it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just, we're growing. Our word's getting out there. You'd think 5 or 6 years is a long time, but when something like that, well, it's not really. It's just still in its infancy, you might say.
Pastor, if someone's listening today and thinking about the resources they have, maybe they could start an outreach in their area. What should they do?
Certainly, I can be contacted and I could help them through the steps. Usually to start an outreach center, three things are important. One, to have a pastor who's willing to step behind it and say, this is a good ministry. Not that the pastor has to lead it, but having that pastor's voice and encouragement and having him pop in occasionally to do the spiritual aspect is very helpful. Second would be willing volunteers. And Bob at Eureka said, well, I'll contact seven people if they say yes. And seven is a great number to start with. And
it's a good biblical number.
Yeah. And as it starts, people will start to see what happens and even more will come. And then third is the contact into the blind community. And that especially is where I and or Dale can help because we have contacts. We believe about 4 to 6% of any population, so St. Louis, 4 to 6% are blind and visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Blind and visually impaired.
At least.
Mm-hmm. Of that group, only a small amount are totally blind like myself. I can see no sunlight whatsoever. That's a very small number, actually. But those who have a little bit of vision, like Dale, who can follow 2 feet behind me but can't read, can't drive a car, that's at least half of this group. Let's do the numbers. Let's just take the simple 4%. I think there's 3 million people in St. Louis. 3 million. 4% of that is 12,000? No, it's 120,000. 120,000 people.
Hmm. Yeah, I believe that.
Most of them are isolated, living at home, not able to get out. Half of them are this shadow vision, as I call it. But mm-hmm. functionally, they are blind. And that's where the real struggles enter in.
And so there is a need for outreach like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
for more.
It's going to grow as soon as people start realizing what we're trying to do. And, you know, through the word of God and the love, it's got to grow, you know, more and more.
Well, you gentlemen are doing a fine job. And thanks to all the folks who are helping at the Eureka outreach. And we mentioned some others in the St. Louis area as well. Concordia and Maplewood has an outreach there.
Mm-hmm.
And one other that's
Salem Blackjack.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Salem Blackjack mm-hmm. has an outreach there. It'd be great to see a few more mm-hmm. Continue to grow, not only here in the St. Louis area, but around the country as well, to see mm-hmm. outreach like this happening. And that, well, certainly more people here the good news of Jesus through this and get out of that isolation and see all that, you know, learn all that God has for them
mm-hmm.
in
Absolutely.
His word. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is, we have about a minute left. Any encouragement you want to share with our listeners, especially if they know someone who's blind or visually impaired, how to get them connected with an outreach like this, Dale?
Yeah, they can contact their local Lutheran church, may be able to put them in touch with mm-hmm. myself or Pastor Dave. They're totally welcome to contact me. And we're overlooking one area of life, and that's the elderly people mm-hmm. who lose their sight. It's very common. And, you know, they're welcome. We can't have any wheelchairs if we just don't have the accessibility, really, of it or the room. But, just give me a call. Give Pastor Dave a call. Come see us, whatever. Just come on in and call me and give me the name.
And you'll make that connection, make a visit even.
If I need to.
Get in touch with them and help them feel welcome.
Absolutely.
Well, it has been a pleasure to talk with you both today. Pastor David Andrus, pastor to the blind at St. Paul College Hill, St. Louis, Missouri. Always a pleasure to have you in studio. Get to visit with you, Pastor Andrus.
Thank you.
And Dale Oberkramer, leader for the Eureka Outreach to the Blind and Visually Impaired. Dale, it was a pleasure to meet you today, and thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Andy, and it was nice to meet you.
God bless you and those you serve with at the Eureka Outreach. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, Pastor Asbury, filling in today. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.